残酷な天使のように少年よ神話になれ。
Hello, welcome to the S-Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Speak.
He's John Condon.
I am Sun Lee.
I'm Danny Sudhirakam.
And I'm Lita Cho.
Alright, this week's S-Word is one that I think is going to be a popular choice with a lot of our listeners, and it's Shinseiki Evangelion. I said that right, right?
Shinseiki.
Close enough.
Studio Ghibli.
Ghibli, okay.
All right, cool.
Ghibli-ass.
Yeah, yeah. It's Evangelion. I know
Show
this is
your Ghibli's,
very.
Kevin.
This is, yeah.
Evangelion.
And they're already out there.
We're talking about Evangelion, okay? Evangelion.
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 Evangelion, which is the very popular anime series and basically a gigantic franchise that kind
it
of.
It won't go away.
It won't go away in Japan.
It's like Star Wars of America.
So no, actually. Wait, Star Wars of America is Star Wars.
I mean, for America.
Whatever.
Anyway,
if you think
it's the Star Wars of Japan, actually it's Gundam that's the Star Wars of Japan.
Yeah.
They're kind of like Gundams. They have big things. Like, they're alive and organic, whatever.
That's totally unlike Gundam,
I'm going to actually preface this and say, like, you know, I'm not going to say spoilers in the middle of the episode. There's a spoiler everywhere. At this point, yeah, oh, fine. We will. We'll do it then. Anyways, let's go to the
Shinji
first...
Shinji masturbates.
Let's go to the first question we usually like to ask each other is, what was the first time you saw Evangelion?
All right, so John, you start, since you're next to Kevin.
Oh, thank you. The first time I've ever seen Evangelion... That's got to be on KTH. Yes.
Oh, that's right. They did show it on KTH.
KTH.
A nice follow up to last week's topic.
Yes.
About how awesome our PBS stations are around here.
It was unedited. It was dubbed, and I didn't have the history to understand that dubbed is horrible compared to regular Japanese with subtitles. But it was good. Yeah. That's the first time I watched it.
The first time I saw it was in high school. I saw the first 5 episodes and was bored out of my mind, so I was like, screw this. And then went back to it in college and realized it was really good later on. A lot later on. But the first 5 episodes were kind of boring, sorry.
The first 5 episodes are actually my favorite.
Really?
Everything makes sense.
Yeah, things make sense in those episodes.
No, I don't like those episodes.
No, it got so much more interesting later on, and the end of it was so good.
You're making fun of us now, aren't you?
No! It was weird and like
big white screen with like a guy.
This is gonna be a very heated
figure.
Topic.
I know.
I am actually on the same boat as Lita.
Yeah, and the Eva made it interesting when they all die. No,
and he masturbates. Spoiler.
That's in the movie.
Yes,
whatever.
That's over the masturbation. Yes, I understand you have a very strong fixation with masturbation.
You do it all the time. I get it, but we need to not know about this.
Spoiler.
Wow, only not even 4 minutes in, we're talking about masturbation. What about you, Danny?
You knew this was coming.
Nice leading, Danny.
He didn't even try.
But yeah, actually, Evangelion, I don't actually, like, now in retrospect, I don't really have that high of opinion of it anymore. Just sheer hype overload.
Overlord.
More of them.
But the main thing is, Eva was actually the first series I ever saw in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was G's copy. Because that was back when we were freshmen in the dorms.
You mean it was on tape?
Yes, it was on tapes.
What's tapes?
What are tapes?
They're these black rectangular things that you put into, it looks like a DVD player, but the slot's way too big.
Oh, what?
Do they come in generations?
As a matter of fact, yes.
But yeah, the main thing is, I think this is the main... But yeah, this is actually the first thing that I saw, and it was something that we just sort of marathoned. We this is actually how I met G. We were in the common room downstairs, and you know, he was just watching something on TV. It's like, what was this? Yeah, it's Eva. All right, watch robots. Okay, I can get behind robots. Weirdness. It's some pretty weird stuff going on there. But and then you know, hey, weekend. Let's just watch the rest. The what? He pulls out like 8 tapes. Oh, okay. Let's watch the rest. And that is pretty much how I got into anime in the first place.
That's a lovely story. Better than my story.
Mine is, my story of how I first saw it is based on high school, which is where I started coming out of my little nerd shell. I expanded my nerd shell a little bit, and my friend Ed, who people have asked about it before, and yes, it is the same Ed who made it into Megatokyo. We have been friends for a very long time.
Wait, he's real? I thought he was just like a pillow with a picture on it.
Oh, he is.
Oh, okay.
But, so anyway.
Did you marry that pillow?
No, but I tried. I applied, and they didn't.
Oh, yeah, because the laws changed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, hug pillow marriage is now okay.
Well, you gotta go out of country for that, man.
You can just fly over, right?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, so yeah. Anyway, and so the thing is that I'd already been introduced to anime by things like Bubblegum Crisis and such, and so I would join an anime club, and they're like, hey, you should watch this Evangelion thing. It's like, okay, put it in, and went, hey, the first ones are pretty interesting. Then it started getting weird, and I'm like, I'm done.
You didn't watch all of it?
Well, this is the thing, is that he showed me the end of Evangelion. The movie, before I actually saw Evangelion.
He hates you, man.
Yes, he does.
Very nice.
You don't do that to people.
Sure you do. I did it to people all the time.
And I know certain people I'd do that to.
Remember, that's how I introduced people to the Kenshin manga.
That's how we introduced you to the Kenshin manga.
That's why I did it.
All right, so, Sung, what was your first experience with Evangelion?
This goes way back to, I guess, 97, 96, back when Evangelion was first came out in Japan. My brother was a part of an anime club when he was at UC Santa Barbara called Cal Onmuj Gamma. His roommate at the time was the head library officer, so he had all the tapes. And they had bought one of those VHS decks that has two of them connected.
Oh, yeah, so, the dupe decks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the dupe decks. So basically I saw a lot of anime, like that first couple of years when he was in college, because he would just bring tapes and tapes and tapes home. And yeah, Ava was one of them.
Nice.
Cool. Kevin?
My experience with Evangelion goes back to an old format for video called Vivo, if you remember what that was. It was an old streaming video format, and I remember that I had gotten the entire Evangelion series in that format in a tiny little window. I think it was about 320 by 240 in terms of resolution, and it was subtitled still. Somehow I managed to watch all of that, and I watched pretty much all of it within 2 days. Beforehand, I had never really had much experience with anime. In fact, I actually didn't like anime before then. And I just figured, well, I'm bored enough. Let's just give this thing a try. So eventually did watch all of it. I enjoyed that. And yeah, that actually started off my whole anime fixation. So that's what it was. Right. I did the usual nerd thing. You sat in front of your computer watching anime, eating pizza, and drinking soda.
Yeah, he's pretty much right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
John knows what's up. So I also ask you guys, what's your favorite moment in the Evangelion series? So of course, there's spoilers coming up. Woo-doo-hoo, and
I think we know Tom's.
Giant Naked Ray.
It's not in the movie again, goddammit.
not the masturbation?
Nope, that's in the movie too!
Yeah, that's fine. In the Evangelion, saying, like, storyline.
The thing is that because of the giant naked ray, it turned into this big meme among my friends, where it's like, and then giant naked ray comes in and it became our fake spoiler of choice. It's like, oh yeah, so how does this end? Oh yeah, giant naked ray comes in and shoots this character. What?
So Aaron doesn't die in your spoilers?
Yeah, giant naked ray comes in and it turns everyone into red goop.
Orange goop.
Orange goop?
It's orange.
It's orange tang.
It's orange.
Oh, it's orange tang. Sorry.
Yeah, remember, it's tang.
Got it. Sorry.
Do I even take nerd points away for that? That's too weird.
Well,
you can take away my tang points.
I don't want to be like, and then next week you're like, I found out I'm colorblind.
No, I just wasn't paying attention.
Who's next?
I can't think of a really poignant.
Okay, then I'm gonna pick mine before anyone else takes it. And it actually involves later on in the series, one of the characters, Toji, becomes one of the pilots as well. He pilots Ava 03. Mm-hmm. I always remember the scene where the Ava 01 goes berserk, fighting against Ava 03, and he takes out the actual pilot capsule. He takes the pilot capsule out, and he crushes it. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god.
That is a very powerful moment.
I had not seen anything like that in the series up until then, and I was like, wow, they're... Now he's you know, no holds barred, right? Like, I'd never seen something in a television series like that where it's really like, hey, we'll do whatever we want to do, and you really get the sensation that anything could happen. And that's just like, for me, that was the click, like, I cannot sleep until I'm done kind
of
thing.
But Toji was fine, though.
Yeah, he was fine. But I mean, that moment,
except
that
for
is
the fact that where you know, there's this there's no lump in the blanket where his leg should be.
He's fine.
Totally fine. He's just lazy.
No, it's just animators being lazy.
Actually, that's entirely possible. Come to think of it.
No, not back then. Actually, you know.
No. What do you mean not back then? Gainax took every shortcut they could with that
series.
Yes,
but they found much more of them after Eva. Back before then, they didn't know about most of them yet.
Are you kidding me? Do you remember the entire scenes that would just have people with their hands in front of their mouths? They didn't have to animate mouths?
Yes, that's been around since Astro Boy.
I know, but still. Remember the entire scenes that they had with just silhouettes on on stairs or in an elevator?
Yes.
Did you watch Gunbuster?
Where the entire climactic fight scene is storyboards and music.
And like...
I don't know what you're talking about. That was awesome.
They show a ship and then just do cutouts of the ship.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. That was awesome.
Anyone else got their moments?
Moments of...
In Evangelion.
I liked that 5 minutes where they just had him standing still with Kaoru in his hand.
With Ota Joy playing in the background.
Was it more than 5 minutes? I think it was more than that, wasn't it?
No, I'm fairly certain it actually was like a minute and a half at
that,
most.
And then there's the elevator with Asuka and Rei, where they're just standing there. Like the longest elevator ride ever.
Yes. I think actually my favorite moment of the whole thing, Evangelion series was near the end where they have basically Senji, he's basically black and white. They have a white background and they're just basically describing, you know, you can create the whole world now, you know, just set your own rules. And, you know, he's just falling there until they say, okay, well, set the ground now. Now you can go up. All basically up to you. So I like that because it was more of a psychological aspect of more than just talking about Senji, but also about it, how people can live their lives. So I like that part most of all, and that's the one that really sticks out in my mind of the whole Evangelion series.
So the final episode then, right? I know a lot of people that don't like that, and then I actually do. Yeah, I don't think people get it.
I actually like that episode. My favorite's from that last episode too, with when, you know, Shinji's, you know, he's in that little world where he's actually his own life, right? He's his own life, and Asuka's his childhood friend, and Rei's the girl that he runs into at the beginning and gets to see her panties, and it's like, that was so completely out of left field, and it's also so frighteningly typical.
Yeah.
You know, later on as I discovered, but, you know, since I'd seen it for the first time, I had no idea the conventions of it, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, they were...
I guess series can end like this, too.
They were showing every possibility of what he could do. You know, this is one possibility of your life. You could live it that way, or you could live it another way. It's all up to you.
Anyways, my favorite moment was, it was in the end of Evangelion, which is basically just the Asuka fight scene. From the
That's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, big one.
That's the last half of it.
It's just like a fight scene. My favorite scene.
And it ends kind of badly, but in a very interesting way.
Yeah, well, she made her mom proud, I guess. My favorite scene was like, well, it's not my favorite scene, but I thought it was really interesting where like, when Shinji decides not to fight and help Asuka out, it was the first time where I saw the hero not being a hero.
My favorite part of Evangelion is that part of Super Robot Wars where Bright Noah slaps Shinji in the face.
Well, I guess that counts because we're counting the movie.
Like,
sure,
like,
go ahead.
Personally, I don't like Shinji as a character because
he's a whiny little boy.
Yeah, he is a little whiny little boy. But like, when you're in a situation, it's really hard. Most movies make it so easy to step up and like, you know, give your life for like, you know, to save someone else. But in reality, a lot of people can't really do it.
Yeah, but that was the whole point. That was the whole point of the show and the whole point of the ending, which people didn't really get or just didn't like. which is the fact that it was all about Shinji basically taking hold of his not
penis.
getting a hold of his life basically and basically standing up and saying and creating his own destiny and whatever.
Cool.
Huh. Well, a lot of happy moments as opposed to my bad moments.
Hers was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Mine ended badly.
Well, yeah, no, like, it was a bad ending. Like, he could have totally saved her, but he decided not to. And I was like, what are you doing? I was really frustrated when I watched it.
Well, that's the thing. He spends the entire series not being a hero.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating as a character, like, who's, this anti-hero who's not...
He's not an anti-hero either.
He's just a wuss. Specific.
He's not the typical brave hero.
Well, that's the thing. He's a typical child thrown into those situations.
Yeah. He is a 13-year-old boy. By the way, that is completely different than what an anti-hero is, so be very careful with that term.
He's more the reluctant hero.
Reluctant hero. Or he's not even really,
Amuro was a reluctant hero.
Yeah, he doesn't become
then
a hero.
Then again, Amuro was, hit by Bright, so.
But I felt like the show was
just these a things protagonist.
Shinji also gets hit by Bright, though.
And look what he does in Alpha 3.
He's a 13-year-old boy, and he didn't take hold of the situation, and that's totally realistic. I mean, like.
It's depressingly realistic.
But who would put a boy in that situation? I don't know.
Gendo?
His dick? Father?
Because he's a dick.
Easy to control.
All right.
Shinji, you stop getting the robot. You guys remember that? The 2-minute summaries of every episode of Evangelion? Shinji, you stop getting the robot.
I never understood who shot that guy in one
Kaji?
Of those.
Kaji?
Yeah. I never...
It's not important who shot him, it's just important that
he
was shot.
No, they showed that in the movie. It was, what's it called?
It was a
blonde...
Oh,
Ritsuko?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really?
And then she gets shot
by Gendo.
Gendo.
Yeah.
They shoot each other, I think. It's something like that.
No, Gendo shoots her first.
Yeah,
Gendo shot first.
They are aiming to shoot each other.
Yeah.
Gendo.
Yeah, because there's a scene, I believe. I'm pretty sure it's in Death in the end of Evangelion where you actually see it.
Okay.
I did not see that. Okay.
I know in the series they don't show it to you.
No, yeah.
No,
they just show them both dead.
Yeah, they just show people dead, and then they all swoop. She went to Shinji's mind.
And then they melt into Orange Tang, and then Giant Naked Ray comes out. And
that's the movie again!
Dude, I thought that was kind of epic. I was like, dude, this is getting weird. But I liked it. I liked the whole, ending.
That's why you never force a writer into a corner. Jesus.
Giant Naked Ray! Yeah, that's
how
the end of the
come
story.
Up with that kind
of
stuff?
Sure. Cocaine's a powerful drug.
In Japan?
Sure, why not?
Cocaine works just as well in Japan.
Hey, did you see that they caught the singer who sang all the Gunbuster songs with, what was it? What drug was it? It was,
I don't know what you're talking
about. It's like, Orange got busted for drugs.
Wasn't her husband? Not really.
And her too.
Oh, okay.
She did drugs?
Oh no, my god! She didn't.
What kind of drugs?
I'm actually looking that up. meth.
That's amphetamine.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Just
whatever.
Methamphetamine,
crystal meth.
They're all the same.
It's just methamphetamine.
E. They're all
Sudafed.
That's not as bad.
No.
Dude, that's how they make meth. I saw them breaking.
Okay, yes.
They
use cough medicine
to break it to get out the methamphetamine and crystallize it.
Yeah. Thanks. We're such an informative podcast.
No, it's
back to anime.
What was the subject again?
No, I learned so much about chemistry in that show. That's so awesome.
Now back to anime.
No, let's talk about drugs.
Well, it actually does,
we'll get there, don't worry.
We'll get there with Evangelion, largely because remember that Evangelion was sort of Hideaki Anno's account of his nervous breakdown.
And which point it was thoroughly slammed by the fans. And so,
wait, who
in
was
response,
the girl that got caught with methamphetamine? What did she write?
She was a very popular singer, and she was actually very involved in the Gunbuster project. They got her to sing that, and also she did. Didn't she do music for Video Girl?
Speak into your mic.
Yes.
Didn't she also do music for Video Girl Eye?
She did the opening for Video Girl Eye,
which I think was also partially a Gainax project. They might have just been helping on that one.
I see. Okay, so what's the next topic?
Well, actually, my next topic branches out more. So I'm
Yay!
One of the main things is that Evangelion kind of started up a lot of the U.S. anime industry. It definitely brought ADV Films up into the forefront of the anime community.
It kept
them alive for a long time until they just recently folded.
They didn't really fold. They just renamed themselves, and they're a bunch of different companies now.
Exciting.
Rebranding.
Yeah, rebranded. So anyway, Evangelion kept two companies alive for very, very long times. Because Gainax hadn't done anything in a while, and didn't do anything for a while after Evangelion, after they got busted for taxes.
Since I was doing Fanime, staffing Fanime, I got to hear Hiroyuki Yamaga's take on everything, because he's like a guest for Fanime every year. But he basically said the whole Ava thing was, it made them fat and lazy
for a long time.
And so he was, that's why, like, it was just kind of a hard push to get through it. He was saying that, we've been depending on this too long.
But they're still depending on it. They're still making those new movies.
They're coming back to depending on it, apparently.
What new movies?
The new Ava movies.
What new Ava movies? The live action ones?
No.
No, the reanimated ones.
It's called Ava 1.0.
Yeah.
It's 1.0, actually airing, 2.0. It's actually showing in San Francisco right now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
The dubbed one.
Is it good?
I still haven't watched it.
Okay, so
it's been out for a long time. You could finally do watch it. I'm sure so many people have subbed it.
Anybody who's ever watched Evangelion movies, like, I don't know. Another movie?
Well, no, this is a reimagining of the series.
I don't know.
I don't know. I think they could actually fix some things up, actually.
if they get
to redo it.
Did any of you guys see it?
Nope.
Not yet.
Oh, well then, we can't judge.
Well, that's not what
we're talking about.
No, I'm talking about, like, so Evangelion started the birth of the U.S. anime industry, and then after that, we started seeing a lot more domestic anime show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that period?
You can tell Eva went first because each tape had two episodes on it.
Yeah.
That's mean.
Well, okay, I mean, I can speak for a little bit more for it because I actually got into anime long before I think anyone else at this table did, which was the first, like, because ADV was actually around for a while, but
they started with Bubblegum Crisis.
No, I thought it was Devil Hunter Yoko was their first.
No, Devil Hunter Yoko, well, it may have been around the same time, actually.
Well, it has to be their first, because Bubblegum Crisis was Animaigo. It was not ADV.
They got their name from AD Vision, which was a portmanteau of AD Police and then Double Vision.
No, they have AD Police, but they only have Bubblegum Crisis 2040. They don't have the actual Bubblegum Crisis.
Yeah.
No, 2040 was
that's ADV. No, 2040 is ADV.
Okay, whatever. Anyways.
Oh no, was it? No. Yeah, it's ADV.
Oh.
Anyways.
Okay, whatever.
I don't remember.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's important.
Something's wrong.
The anime industry started off with the movies like Akira and all that crap.
Wow.
Nice.
Akira and all that crap. I see.
It was like US renditions had Gunbuster. They had, Funimation had like, not Funimation. It was one of those early ones. Macross. Do you remember Love?
Do you remember Love was Harmony Gold?
Harmony Gold.
The Macross re-release, like, much later was Animaigo.
Yeah, I know that. But I was just thinking of, like, the very early days before Evangelion ever even aired. And then, the first, like, sub-dub stuff was, Viz with Ranma.
Oh, yeah.
They were the ones who started the whole two episodes per tape thing.
Really? For Ranma they did that?
Yeah. And then, Pioneer.
Actually, I have some of those tapes.
Pioneer, they started with one episode per tape.
God.
I remember Pioneer did like the Tenchi Muyo OVAs with one episode per ten, but that's what Japan did too.
That's what Japan did.
Pretty much where they...
But Japan could do that. America, it's kind of silly to do that.
And by silly, you mean it's a killer to try and do that.
Oh, no, wait, no, never mind. The Rondo clamshells are 3 episodes per tape. Never mind. Yeah. After that first, like, 6 set of clamshells, then they started doing the paper sleeves with 2 episodes. And then Evangelion eventually came out.
Okay.
And then that was the one that really made AD Vision, because before AD Vision did those somewhat adult titles like Devil Hunter Yoko. And,
well, they started out as Soft Cell, didn't they? Something like that?
Soft Cell was their sister company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of it had kind of this bleed through. Cutie Honey, New Cutie Honey, they had that as well.
Wow.
That was one of the old ones. And like Phantom Quest Corps was...
Okay.
Well, I remember Phantom Quest Corps.
I could go on and on.
Yeah, it's a little terrifying.
Well, then actually, because of this brand new U.S. anime industry, we started getting into this whole issue about sub versus dub.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't want to talk about this. This
and no, the thing is, like, I never had problems with dubs. I don't know why people do.
It's just whichever you're used to first.
I can watch either.
No, I feel like
I don't watch either anymore because I'm a snob and I learned Japanese.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I think like Dom and I might be a little bit biased, seeing as we just watch it now, because you know Japanese absorption rate is fast enough that you just sort of watch it and know what's going on.
Pretty cool.
But
no, I'm just used to it. If I watch the dub first, and I'd rather watch the dub rather than the sub, but just because I'm used to it.
I'm actually really happy with this, with what is like the amount of development in dubbing has gone through.
Yeah, the thing is that it used to be that all of these voice actors were just people who wanted to act and they couldn't get into real acting, so they went into voice acting.
That is mostly what they are these days, too.
No, not really. These days, you know, there's a lot more people who have just,
like,
chosen voice acting as a career and aren't just trying to break into things, you know.
Even the people who didn't start out that good, they've now had enough experience to actually become better at it, and also that the people who produce it have gotten better at it.
Yeah, so the thing is that it used to be a matter of quality. It used to be that dubs were pretty terrible in general.
Yes. Did you guys see Conan O'Brien when he visited?
Yes.
Yes, that was great.
Hilarious.
Oh, God!
No, I don't. Can you tell us?
Yes. So, Conan O'Brien decided to visit an anime dub studio. I think it was Funimation.
No, it wasn't. Let me look it up, though.
It was
the one
that
says manga on it.
So it was like
Manga Entertainment.
That might be it. So they visit Manga Entertainment.
Yeah, he's yelling that out. That kind of makes
Victor
sense.
Andy Victor visited the studio in Hollywood because he was talking about like, oh, there's this new thing where like they take Japanese animation and dub over it. So Conan O'Brien and Andy Richter did a dub of Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Which is definitely
hilarious.
More
it was way more hilarious than the original, I have to say.
Well, that's because Ghost in the Shell isn't really a comedy. It's not a comedy, Lita.
No.
I hate to break it to you.
It's just boring.
It should be a comedy. He made it very funny. You should watch it. It's on and it's on NBC.com and Hulu. And you can see this clip. It's really funny.
There's a great story of this came from Jonathan Osborne, who is he's done a lot of the dubs for shows, and like one of the stories he likes to tell is of him and the people working on Fushigi Yugi. He didn't do any of the major characters. He was just like one of the background voices, right? And for the background voices, I think he called it the Wall, where it's just a group of people who just talk and make background noises. And they had no idea what the show was about.
It was about ancient China,
it was based in ancient China. So basically, it was like, so what's the weather like in
ancient China?
I love the food here in ancient China. How are you doing in ancient China?
Yeah, I remember this now.
Hey, Dom, care to help me reenact Fushigi Yugi, actually, for the record? Tamahome.
Miyaka.
Tamahome.
Miyaka.
Tamahome.
Miyaka.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need.
No, you guys haven't done the yelling versions, too.
Yes, it's true. Okay, let's do the later half of Fushigi Yugi.
Damn it, no, not
Tamahome!
Miyako!
Tamahome!
Miyako!
Tamahome!
Miyako!
Tamahome!
Okay.
You also forgot the Miyako where you focus more on the end part where it goes, Miyako!
We here at the S-Words Podcast may or may not have a high opinion of Fushigi Yugi. I don't even know if Dom Siebert's seen it for.
I like Fushigi Yugi.
I like Fushigi Yugi too!
And yet you let us talk about it.
I just hate Miyaka. Oh my god, why do people fall in love with her?
The OVAs for Fushigi Yugi are terrible. Except for the little bus shorts.
Those bus shorts are awesome.
I liked it, but it dragged on way too much.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those earlier titles I saw, so I have less... I have a higher forgiveness, yeah. Probably, because I was dumb. Let's go
yeah,
to this.
It's that whole thing where if you went back and watched a lot of the shows that you liked when you were a teenager, you would go, wow, this is dumb.
Yeah, like
wow, this is dumb, too.
Like Gundam Wing. I'm not going to go back and watch that because I like it, and I'm not going to ruin it by rewatching it.
Good,
you can't make
good
me!
Call.
I ruined really. It by watching it anyways.
Yeah.
Not again, just once.
I went back and watched it. Don't do that.
All right, it's going to be still my favorite in my heart.
Okay.
I forgot my first. Whatever.
Okay, what about this? Let's go into Gainax specific titles because this is Evangelion, and Gainax has been they've had a variety of shows.
The
that they
only thing
I've
watched from them is Eva and Rudy Kudi. That was really weird.
Rudy Kudi was fun.
Yeah, I liked Gunbuster. I don't like
Gunbuster. Gunbuster is an all-time classic in many people's eyes.
I've never
seen Gunbuster, unfortunately.
You should. It's worth it.
Good.
I don't like Furikuri, though. I think it's way overrated.
The thing about Furikuri is that I enjoyed it on the surface, and then when people tried to read into it, I'm like, I don't like it as much.
Yeah, maybe it's because I just don't like people reading into it. I'm just like, it's just for fun.
It's
nothing
for fun.
Else,
yeah.
Dude.
It's just that.
I like the songs.
Yeah,
the music's
great.
Yeah.
With the pillows.
With the pillows, yeah.
Okay, what else do they... What else do they do?
His
or
Her Circumstances.
Yeah. Oh,
I do
like
Katakana. Yeah, Danny is waiting in
wait. I'm waiting for the end. They'll get to it once they
yes,
clear out the earlier years.
I never
know.
Finish.
Once get to
once
it.
She gets you.
Yeah, yeah, you know where we go.
Is
it
manga first?
They'll get there.
Yeah, it's manga first.
They did Ebi Chu.
They did?
Yeah, they did do
Ebi Chu. Oh my god, they did a lot of stuff.
It's Gainax.
Yes, they're pretty well-known now.
The Wings of Honey Mayonnaise. I actually like The Wings of Honey Mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good... That's one where you actually do see the...
I like it when you can see the Japanese release that actually is clean and not like the American release, which is like a bad Laserdisc transfer.
Why are they going to finish His and Her Circumstances?
He did. Well, then they burned it.
They burned it. The series, they just cracked it out and then...
Yeah.
Well, at least the end.
I remember, like, even what 14 and 15 are just recap episodes with like fan polls and stuff like that.
That's because the main director quit in the middle of it.
Oh,
and then they just didn't bother replacing him.
Well, I like Ebi Chu. That was really messed up.
Ebi Chu has a great joke though of like, what is it? Chestnuts?
Squirrels and chestnuts.
Squirrels and chestnuts.
Don't ask us what that means.
Anyway, let's see other things. Actually, this is one that I'm surprised we missed is Nadia, The Secret of Blue Water.
Yeah.
Oh, hi.
I am a big fan
of like
that one.
Nadia, except for the island episodes.
Yeah, you skip those. Skip
the island
episodes.
The island episodes are, I thought I could do it. I did do it. I don't like doing it.
Yeah.
Nadia
is an adaptation of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Okay.
I have
it's
all of
very
it.
Very good.
You can watch it if you want to watch.
Except for the island episodes.
I'll skip those.
For anime fans, island episodes are code for skip this. It's like, oh, and they found an island. Sometimes it's like, oh, and they found an island in space. Or, oh, they found an island. They found an island at school or something like that.
Why is it this bad? Like, why?
Because the thing is that, you know,
okay, okay.
So here's the thing.
Oh, you go ahead then.
There, you know how it's an adaptation of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And so they're supposed to be on a journey.
Uh-huh.
Then at random they find an island in the middle of this journey and they decide to stay on the island for a while and do nothing.
Well, how do you make a series?
Well, the thing is that the worst thing about the island episodes is actually the series is very fast paced until they get to the island. It's actually not, it's actually like, remember the first like dozen episodes are actually like, whoa, 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 and then just keep going. And then you get to the island, you're just like, they're playing with animals and stuff, and coconut jokes, and
they're milking.
There's like some gigantic monster that lives on the island too, it's made of smoke, and.
Alright.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. One really big fan classic before Evangelion was Otaku no Video.
Oh, yeah, the autobiography.
The Otaku no Video is great because when we watched it in anime club, we treated it like a horror movie. So, as you know, when you watch a horror movie and the people keep making all of the wrong choices, it's like, no, no, don't no, go into that con, you fool! I'll kill you! It was awesome watching it that way. Unfortunately, it's also kind of the story of a lot of our lives, too.
Details.
I like it for when they go off to make the garage kits. So I was like, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any organics?
I'd like to introduce you.
Don't skip Danny's lifeblood here.
Sorry.
It's not just my lifeblood. Oh, I'm also here representing Hung. Because Hung is not here. And John is, who is here, but is not talking for some reason.
Oh, and the princess figure anime.
I forgot you guys love you guys love Sister Princess and Abenobashi and... And this cruel and beautiful world. And...
Hung is killing you right now with Mike.
No, no,
you know
no. Who's Hung?
Are you Hung?
I'm not Hung. I'm not Hung.
John might be Hung.
So they made a Princess Maker anime? It wasn't...
Yeah, it's called Sister Princess.
No, Sister Princess was an adaptation of a game called Sister Princess.
Oh, what was
Sister Princess Maker?
Well, but what was the Princess Maker one called? It wasn't called Princess Maker, right?
It was Puchi Puru Yushi.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
This is the one where you have a girl in a clock and you
can make a
harmonic.
Matt Automatic is actually decent.
Where did she come from?
Let's explain what Princess Maker is. Anyone?
You make
go
a
ahead,
princess.
Lita.
No,
you're
I don't want to.
The
I
way.
Don't
you
don't
apparently
want to.
Find a girl in a closet.
No, you don't find a girl in a closet.
I don't want to know. In a room.
No, you don't.
She's your daughter.
It is a raising game where you actually raise a daughter.
And the whole point is to raise her to marry the prince. Right.
Or she can become a slut.
Or to become the to become the queen. By taking
favorite,
over.
There's also an ending that where she becomes the queen of hell.
Yeah.
She becomes the devil. That one's funny.
There was basically like back when that game first came out, like a bunch of the CIA officers played it. And they're just like comparing the results they got. Like Brian Mao got the princess right away pretty much. And Monica, who was a later president, she, the first one she got was concubine.
Hold on, wait. So Mao is actually better at raising his daughter than Monica was? That's a really frightening concept. Wait
actually,
a second.
If you know the both of them, it makes perfect sense. And in its
because
own terrifying way.
She figured that sending the daughter constantly to the castle would make her a princess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just wow.
Who got the prostitute one?
Concubine is the prostitute.
Oh, that is?
That is the prostitute.
What's the one when you send her to the bar all the time?
Barmaid.
Oh, barmaid.
Wasn't it like chimney sweepers?
Yeah. by the way, the game was also a Gainax production, so that needs to be said before we go too far into the subject, so otherwise people will think, where are they going? This has even less to do with anything than normal.
Okay, let's talk about the movie.
No, let's talk about what Danny actually wants to talk about.
I'm continuing to lead into Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
Abenobashi.
No.
What are we talking about?
You have no drill. What's wrong with you?
What do you want to talk about?
He's already
differ.
Said it. And you ignored him.
What is it? I don't.
You know what? I'm not going to tell you. I am not going to tell you. You do not deserve to know my name.
It's Abenobashi, and his name is Dan.
Good job, Danny.
It's the magical shopping district.
What?
You can buy drills.
What was it?
That pierced to heaven.
You know what? Don't worry about it. It'll come up later.
Gunbuster 2.
Oh,
actually,
wow.
I keep thinking Abenobashi.
Oh, was it?
So I'm sure that's not what it is.
I've never seen Abenobashi, so it isn't.
Hunk showed me that just to show me that it sucked.
Yeah, that's true. It did pretty much suck.
Oh, well.
It's like, now you know my pain. Look at that. It makes no sense.
They're talking about
Gurren Lagann.
Say it right.
Chowder.
Mike Montgomery, say it right.
Oh, the magical shopping district. I'm sorry. We do have listeners that are watching
Thank
the
you.
American release, not the. Not
I
the
can't
Japanese
say
release.
That.
That's why people call it TTGL, because they can't say it.
Or they just say drills and are understood immediately.
Drillmaster.
Yeah, you keep doing that. I know where you sleep.
That's based on that. That's based on that show. Grinlagen. Drillmaster.
Kevin, stop being a jerk.
You're such a jerk store, Kevin. You're opening up a chain.
Drill Master.
Kevin, stop being a jerk.
Okay.
Oh, you're gonna just
let Danny speak.
Just destroy the names too.
All right, Danny.
I'm so glad you're sitting next to me.
Oh my god, both of you need to.
It's a great show.
Don't worry about it. I'll talk about it later.
So much drama.
No, no, Danny, go ahead.
Well, we're going to go to like 1 to 5, like our best anime.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So, let me talk about this. This is a brief one for Evangelion. This is quite a big thing for merchandising your series.
There's Rei and Asuka.
So, yes.
All the time.
So here's the thing also.
That it's been 13 years now since Evangelion was first released, right? 96?
They're still releasing tons of paired figurines for those two.
So the manga magazine that I subscribed to for a good year or two, Shonen Ace, which is very strongly represented in the robots thing, because it has the Macross Frontier and the Evangelion manga in it.
And Sergeant Frog.
And so the thing is that every month, almost every month, something comes in the, you know, there's this little goodie that comes with the magazine in order to get you to buy the magazine. And almost every month, like every other month, it is Evangelion related. Okay. And it's just like, oh my god, there's all this Evangelion merchandise and I never wanted it.
Wow.
I'll take it.
There's a pencil case in my trunk that has Rei on it because they wouldn't let me get rid of it. I tried to give it back and they were like, no.
Take it! Take your goodie!
Exactly.
The one thing I remember was being introduced to the stranger Japanese fetishes.
Oh, good.
Because
I thought you were talking about being introduced to the stranger. Which, as like, if you remember your Dave Chappelle show.
There's always the common ones about the schoolgirls and the girl classes and whatever. But then, you know, there's a whole other thing about women in like hospital bandages.
Yeah.
That just creeps me out.
That was introduced pretty much by Evangelion.
Yeah. Never did. Well, on some level, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I've seen.
Yeah, Danny, you've seen my games. You know every single fetish there is.
Yeah, I know. I think that's part of the problem. I'm just sort of blanking out as to where to start. I'd have to pull out a giant list of these things, and I don't have a list of them.
I do?
Yes. I don't have access to that list.
More like a list of what they haven't done. That'd be a little easier to do.
Possibly. You know, Rule 34.
Rule
34 all
the
way.
This was something that I discovered today. there is a porn game out there now called My Childhood Friend is the President of the United States. It involves the White House. It's like, wow, they've really hit everything now. There's nothing left.
Oh, there's so much more.
Oh, yeah.
They'll find it. Don't worry.
That's what I'm saying.
But yeah,
all right. So a good tangent off of merchandise. I'm going to skip some of these other two topics. Let's go straight to the list because we're starting to get to about the 45 minute mark here.
Okay,
it's going to take a bit of a while. So I asked you guys because this is Evangelion. And it's a pretty major anime series. So I wanted to go a bit more broad with this and say, bring your 5 favorite anime series. You list them out, and we're going to go talk about them and. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of us know what each other's favorite ones are, unless things have changed in the past 5 years. I know that Danny's a very big fan of Drillmaster. So,
don't be a jerk store, Kevin. That's my job. I know Danny's gonna really want to be all about Kotetsu Shinjig.
Hold on. Let me do this properly.
I have no idea what that is.
Kevin! Ha! Kuisame!
He's telling you to grit your teeth and bend over.
I do that all the time.
All right. Anyway, let's go on to our top 5 lists, guys. Any honorable mentions? Because I know there's going
to
be.
I would like to take the opportunity to give an honorable mention to Rurouni Kenshin, mostly because I like the anime, but I like the manga so much better, and the anime was just so uneven sometimes that it just ruined the experience for me.
Everything that Danny said, I couldn't put Kenshin on my list because of season 3.
Yeah,
everything after the Kyoto arc. Yeah, honorable mentions is Gundam 0080, which I saw when I was 13 years old.
Nice.
And I went, I don't get it. Why are these robots fighting each other? God. Yeah. And then 5 years later, I went back and watched and went, this series is really good. And when I was 13, I was a jackass.
It's always important to have those realizations that, you know, just how stupid you were when you were a child.
I'd have to do an honorable mention of Legend of Galactic Heroes. I was never actually able to watch the whole series.
That's because it takes too long.
Well, no, I just didn't have access to it.
Which
I've watched
like
up
better?
To half of it.
You should just
the
talk
actual
to
series or the fake story I created.
The fake stories are pretty awesome because everything is steals their stories from Legend of Galactic Heroes, but that goes without saying. But the whole series of it, the whole characters, I just loved it a lot. And it was very a very well done war series, political series. But it doesn't get much play because it's very old and
there's a lot of it.
There's very a lot of it.
I want to make my honorable mention to like Dragon Ball, the first original one.
Dragon Ball Z.
No, just Dragon Ball.
Just the young Ball. Goku. I mean, it is all Dragon Ball in Japan.
That's what
it's just the young Goku stuff.
That's what I
watched. Specifically in the anime, it's...
No, the anime is actually split up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Like, that's where they got the Z from. It's from the anime titlings.
Yeah.
Because it was fun. I was young. He was going on a journey to find this Dragon Ball. That was cute. And then I also...
Like monkeys?
Like the new Goku? Little boy Goku?
Like sticks that grow out to any length?
Did you not watch the series? Are you just being asked?
I was like 10 when I watched it. Oh my god, you guys! I also wanted to make honorable mention to Dr. Slump. That was also one of my favorites as a child. I don't remember anything about it.
Akira Toriyama's fan.
No, but I
nothing
when
wrong
I was
with
a kid,
that.
That was at the Korean beauty store.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
My honorable mentions are the first. No, the one anime that really got me into anime, which is Ranma. Then there's Nadesco, just because it's awesome. And Gatekeepers, just because it's retro awesome.
Because, Gatekeepers I have a great story about. The best thing was, we asked the people at Gonzo why they did Gatekeepers. And they said, because after Evangelion, nothing makes sense. So we made Gatekeepers to be the exact opposite, and to be the most 70s and right-in-your-face show possible. And it's very, very retro and fun. I also will give a shout out to an anime that isn't very good, but it was one of my first, and it got me into anime, and it's Devil Hunter Yoko, because I saw that when I was about 12 years old, and they-
It's a good year!
No, the thing is, I only saw the first 5 minutes, because then my cousins went, oh man, we shouldn't have our little cousin in the room.
Like
they kicked me out of the room, because basically, Devil Hunter Yoko is softcore porn. Yes. Yeah. And so they kicked me out of the room, like, hey, let me back in! There's something awesome going on, and I don't know what it is.
Oh, I also have to give a shout out to Heroes Greenwood, which a lot of people haven't seen.
Greenwood!
But it is a great OVA series.
And
it's
my very final shout out goes to the very first good dub I ever saw, which was Elhazard.
Alright.
And it was a very good dub.
Yeah.
Back when dubs had much lower quality in general. Alright, let's get to the top five now. So, John, do you have your top five?
Yeah, I got number one.
Give me number five. Give me number five.
Number five?
Yes.
We're counting down.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
You don't start with the climax.
Well,
unless it is Kamen Rider Deno.
I don't like dicking around, like getting that my stuff done.
Everybody likes a climax.
But anyway, yeah, exactly, son. Glad you were right with me. So number five would have to be, Please Save My Earth. It's one day. Fuse Sojo series that I actually liked. Also played on KTEH. It was only around
six episodes.
But it's a lot better than the manga, because the manga just goes out in its own little way and just drama all over the place. But
welcome to Sojo.
Yeah, the anime series, just had that the idea of reincarnation, and then if you are aware of being reincarnated, how do you live your life? And the final lesson of the whole series was that even though you did live this fantastic life, knew all this, you're supposed to live your own life after that. And I like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool. So my number five is City Hunter, because back when I was in high school, we watched a lot of the City Hunter movies.
Oh.
And so that got me into the reading the manga a little bit, but it also was... It's, pure adolescent fantasy, City Hunter. And so, I was like 14 years old and like, oh, this is awesome. He cut the wire based on what panties she wore. Like, he's so cool. And so, the City Hunter guy, the character of the City Hunter was sort of, he was my definition of cool for a couple years because he was just so awesome.
He also dresses Chun-Li.
That was Jackie Chan.
That was Jackie Chan pretending to be him dressed as Chun-Li.
I didn't want
to
mention it. That's not how it got out there.
I wasn't going to mention it. Sung.
You know I was going to. If Sung hadn't beaten me to it, you know it was going to come up.
I know. That's why I'm depressed now.
Yay.
But yeah, I actually read City Hunter in Thai. And the thing about the Thai censoring like protocols is that they had to cover up the mokkori. And so the way that they used to cover it up is they just drew a sound effect of beep and just put it over the top.
They had to censor his erections with a sound effect.
Yes. And yeah, it was pretty much, that was how I assumed it was supposed to be. When I actually saw the Japanese version of City Hunter, I was like, but where's the sound effect? I don't understand.
All right, Sung, you're number 5.
All right, my number 5 is an OVA series called Bakuen Campus Gardress.
Wow.
Wow, we're going with all the perverted stuff first.
That's pretty old.
It is old, but it's
I like it.
Awesomely good. And okay, it was that in a tie between that and something made by the same guy, which is Bastard OVA series. But yeah, Bakuen Campus Gardress, if you could find it, is a really different kind of show. I mean, it's fun. It's really funny.
It is really funny.
And it also has great voice actors.
It actually does. It's true. I'd forgotten about that until now.
Yeah.
No. What are you talking about? Danny.
My name is Danny.
Danny?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes, I am not.
Where's
Lita.
Danny?
I'm right here.
Where's Danny? I thought it was on your mic.
I thought he already said something.
No, I was talking about other stuff. Actually, my number 5 is actually Code Geass. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, new stuff.
Wow.
One of the first shoujo series I've ever seen.
That's not shoujo.
I know.
It's not seinen. It's not shonen.
It doesn't count as anything technically because it was not a manga first.
Yeah.
So, well, it had shonen and then shoujo and then seinen all combined together.
Yeah.
But it doesn't count as any of them because it wasn't a manga first.
But yeah, and the main thing is, you know, it has robots, which, you know, I'm always okay with.
Has a good soundtrack.
Sunrise.
And I'm a big fan of world building, and they built a world fairly thoroughly.
And then they jumped it over sharks repeatedly.
that part you skip.
Britannia.
But yeah, they had an entire concept of, okay, A, robots. B, let's have the American Revolution fail. Mm-hmm. And then they just ran with it. And it was an interesting concept from the beginning to all the way up to this train wrecks and train wrecks and train wrecks and ending. And I was okay with the ending.
It was fun.
So, yeah, it was a fun ride. I always liken it to a roller coaster. There's a lot of highs and a lot of lows, but you remember the ride.
And there was also in that series.
I remember the stupid.
Yeah, that too.
there was one thing about that series that is different from any of the other series I've seen. It has the one, tragedy event that I can actually consider an actual tragedy when the...
when something happens that we shouldn't spoil, or...
Well, I don't know. It'll be a spoiler, but I don't give a damn. Okay. what's her name? The one that...
Spoiler here.
Yeah.
An actual
Yuffie?
One.
Yuffie? Is that the one she...
Yuffie or Shirley?
I think... Yeah, it's Yuffie. Yeah, she's the one who gets the geese of, you know, kill all Japanese.
Oh, Yuffie, yeah.
It's at that point where, like, the main antagonist, protagonist is... He gives up.
So it occurs to him that the world is out of his control.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that he's been playing chess with the world this whole time.
Well, he's trying to get to this, you know, certain event, but he's been led down to a certain line that he, you know, there's no other output that would actually increase what he really wants to do, so he's given up. But it's more, less of a given up, is more of like, okay, this is fine. I'll go with this. This is good. And then the geese happens and this, you know, Yuffie, which he is his cousin that he loves. It's a great person altogether. She just gets the geese of just killing all Japanese, and she just runs down there, and she's, you know, she's still nice, like, hey.
Could you lie down and die for me?
Can you go and kill yourself? No? Well, okay.
I guess I'll have to do it for you.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to do it for you, and she goes and kill everybody, and there's this, you know, there's a mass slaughter down there.
You know, I've never seen the show, but... Well, as you're talking, I was just imagining, for some reason, Key the Metal Idol popped into my head.
I like Key the Metal Idol.
Another series by that was shown on KTEH.
But yeah, there was just a lot of stuff happening, and it was like the pacing of it. Something was guaranteed to happen.
Yeah, I was ended on the cliffhanger. It was pretty good.
Which, you know, I can appreciate.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, yeah, you're number five.
My number five is Gundam Wing because that introduced me to anime, and I know it's not very good, probably now. But when I watched it, it was awesome, okay?
We have nothing wrong. We're not going to make fun of you for liking it.
It brought girls into Gundam. You have to give it credit to that.
Look, Turn A did that.
Not as much as the Gundam Wing.
Dude, Turn A just like barely is a blip in the U.S. map.
Yeah. I know. Okay, fine.
I do like the mustache.
Mustache.
I remember enjoying the series very much, and it was very serious, and I was like, wow, this is a lot of political stuff in here.
Yeah. It's war. It's about war and politics of war.
Yeah,
which is,
yeah, exactly.
You've seen when you're that kid.
And I was in high school, so I thought it was pretty cool. It was very impressive to me. I didn't know that it was derivative of other stuff, but
Other Gundam series.
Yeah, so I didn't know that, so anyways.
And they cost a bit of Sentai. The one thing I really liked about that show is that the main girl, her voice actress was the same as Karen Shinchan.
Thanks, son.
Good to know.
All right, Kevin?
My number five is also a very old title. It's The Irresponsible Captain Tyler.
I love that show.
Which is a fantastic show that
you actually stole it from my number three.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's a fantastic show. It opens off very lighthearted and just silly and funny. And then actually as the series progresses, it comes to a very satisfying closure.
Yeah, because the thing is that the world of the show gets much more serious.
Yes.
And the main character tries very hard to stay lighthearted through the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really easy to get behind that.
And it actually, even though it ends satisfying, they actually have a couple more OVA episodes that come after that that are actually also just as good. The whole series never kind of becomes, it doesn't actually drag itself into overstaying its welcome. In fact, it actually constantly is just trying to show you something new and better every single time. I really like it. I wish more people would see it. I'm sure it's already pretty much forgotten for most anime fans nowadays.
Like,
I don't think
Luke's forgotten.
When I first joined Cal Animage Alpha, that was their weekly. It was that and something else. But it was. I remember because it was like, two of the people who were heading the club at the time, like one person really, really loved Captain Tyler, the other one really liked the other show. So there's got this constant battle between the two and of like which one to show like psych. So sometimes you'd have like two episodes of one show, the other time you'd have three episodes of the other show. like whatever they could get away with.
Dueling weeklies.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, The Irresponsible Captain Tyler is very fun, and I've now changed my number three. Now The Irresponsible Captain Tyler is an honorable mention for me.
All right. What about you, John? Number four.
Number four would be Gurren Lagann. Single Temple of Gurren Lagann. It's a very, very well-funded series. I will say that.
Yeah, that's a nice change of pace. I mean,
it's a change of pace.
What a way to describe something.
Dude, it is, no. Like the animation quality is very high.
You'd be surprised how much that means.
You got vibrant colors. The animation is not, you know, copied of animation you saw like a second ago. It's not repeats. It's all new except for one episode, which it has drama in it. Actual live drama thing is one of the writers got fired in it.
One of the producers was fired for insulting the fans.
For insulting the fans, yes. On Mixi.
And that effect actually had effect on the actual anime, which I liked. At the time, there was like this period in the anime which didn't make any sense to me, and I didn't really like. Until I heard about the real life drama, and this is actually, you know, the writers and animators trying to show their grief.
Yeah, that
rage
actually
and all of it into
that happens
the
more often,
series.
But that actually happens fairly often. But you know, it's the first time you ever see it, like, well, live.
Yeah, as it was happening, as it was going, and it's also one of the series where they have the. Here's another spoiler, so you may want to.
Spoiler warning.
All right, but the main character, you know, dies, and they have the guts to do that, and they actually have the
really
main character.
This at all time.
Well, everyone has a death scene, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like Korea does that to everybody. Everybody dies at the end.
That's Korean drama. Korean drama. Everybody.
It's Korean comedy. Everyone dies.
Korea media, whatever. They have like the character actually, you know, grieve over it, and then actually, you know,
get over it,
and actually live up, and then they actually do a future scene. You do a time jump, which is not something you usually see in any kind of media show.
Usually expect that sort of thing for a sequel, but I think the entire idea of Gurren Lagann is they wanted the complete series all at once in the 26-episode arc.
But, in Dragon Ball, they kill the main character.
Yeah, and then they bring him back.
Multiple times.
Yeah. I mean, this character, when he dies, he's really dead.
He stays dead.
You know, and they, you know, they do, you know, monuments to him and so forth, and the other thing I like about a lot of anime series is if it's, you know, well contained. It's not, I know, 100 episodes, 200 episodes.
Yeah, it is one
25
series.
Episode, if I remember correctly.
It's 27, specifically.
27. Yeah, it's not it's a odd number, not an even number.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I picked it.
And it also ends really unambiguously.
Yes.
they really went, you know what? Let's just cram everything that we ever want to do in a series, stick it in the last episode, and then plan from there.
Yeah. It's done well almost all the way through.
Cool. My number 4 is the Lupin the Third movies. Not the original series, because those are from the 70s, are a little weird. It's kind of like old Bond stuff. But a lot of the Lupin movies, Castle of Cagliostro is an exception. I'm putting that in there, but also, you know, Walther P-38.
Oh.
Et cetera, et cetera. Like, there are a lot of good Lupin works out there, and it is very fun. It is lighthearted. It is, you know, very adventury and heisty and spy-y. Yeah. Spy-like.
He's got an English major degree. He has
English
license
major
to create
degree?
Letters.
Excuse me?
He's got an English degree. He's got license to create words.
It's true. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's just a lot of fun, and it's my favorite series, which shouldn't really surprise you if you've been listening to this podcast for a while.
I've never heard you talk about Lupin ever.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Son?
My number 4 is The Vision of Escaflowne, which is just a solid show through and through. The only reason why it's kind of back in the list is because...
The ending sucks?
Yeah, the ending does suck. That's
what
I didn't put
in. I mean, I'm completely ignoring...
and where the villain is, what is it, Sir Isaac Newton, that's right.
Yeah, there's a lot of strangeness to a very cool idea. And the high moments were great, but then there's like a lot of low moments as well. And yeah, overall it's a very good series.
I like that series a lot, except, yeah, when it starts getting near the end. I felt like the first 2/3 of it is fantastic. It's very, very solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember marathoning that entire thing
when I was
in college.
Yes.
Yeah. Escaflowne.
Yeah, I marathoned it, and then at the end I was like, what the?
I think it's kind of telling that I don't actually remember what happens at the end except for the very last scene.
Oh, the very last scene.
Everything prior to that I forgot.
Spoiler old series.
Like
it doesn't matter.
Deal.
No, that's not
it. Matter as much anymore.
But it introduced the anime world to Maya Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Which is a good cause.
Yes.
But, okay, so yeah, my number 4 is actually also Gurren Lagann. Because it's a fun series. I mean, like, the entire idea of it was, you know, everyone is trying, like, first, you know, this is also from the same company that made Evangelion. So
I think they specifically said, let's get back to our roots and
basically, yeah.
Draw
like everybody else,
girls.
Everybody else tried to copy Evangelion. And then after that, everyone else was trying to respond to Evangelion. This series is basically saying, you know what? Let's pretend Evangelion never happened. Let's just make a nice old school robot series and just throw as much money at it as we have left.
Well, actually, I think it was also because all of the animators on Gurren Lagann were the rookie animators, basically. And it's like, all right, so we've got a bunch of these new guys. Let's teach them history.
Yeah.
And let's show them what the old days were like.
I'd also like to add that Gurren Lagann, it also had a very good score, musical score.
Yeah, the music is awesome.
And it's another one of the tributes that I like for my anime is to have a good musical score.
And it also has one of the hallmarks of what I like, is an insert song that's only used once.
My number four is Great Teacher Onizuka.
GTO.
Oh, nice.
I really
That would have been on my list, but if you actually go back and watch it, the animation's so bad.
Well, that's that's my issue with the series. The animation I don't like, but I like the
manga,
the story and everything.
Yeah, like if you read the manga, it's great.
I own all the manga. Actually, it was the first manga I ever read in Japanese. And going back to it, you go, if you ignore the part where he comes back from the dead, it's awesome.
Yeah, actually, that covers it.
I actually like the live-action version.
Yeah, the live-action one is good. So much I helped subtitle that one, actually.
Yeah, that nice. One. I also love the drama way more. It was... And they tried to, copy it with another one, where it was a girl version, but that was weird.
Oh, Gokusen? Gokusen's good.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know what this is.
Gokusen is basically a version of Great Teacher Onizuka where it's made for women, as in, like, a woman female character. She's like ex-Yakuza or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's pretty awesome anyway. You should check it out. Anyway, so Great Teacher Onizuka. Onizuka, alright. Anything else you want to say about it?
No.
Sorry for cutting you off there.
It has a great opening theme.
Yeah.
It has several great opening themes.
Yeah.
It introduced me and Danny to Porno Graffiti.
That is true. Oh wow, I forgot about that. Yeah, the music is great there too.
Alright, my number four, and I'm glad that you guys were talking about old school stuff earlier too. This is one of my favorite series, even though it doesn't ever finish. It's Giant Robo.
Yes!
Which, just to me, is like that great mix between old school and like kind of modern epic, and it's just got everything just going everywhere, and there's like confusion and great animation.
It's even got Atomic Energy Guild.
I know, it has a giant robo. No.
Yes.
But
the thing is that the best scenes in that show are the ones
are
that
without
don't have
the robot. Yes. I just like the whole feel of it. It's definitely geared towards more fans of the kind of live action fantasy type shows, except they just animated it. It's really fun. It's kind of doesn't make any sense, but.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But you enjoy it for what it is. It's just so big in scale. I really like that.
Yeah, it has a really good build up. And to the oh my god, what the
heck? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part, is that it builds up to this thing that doesn't make sense at the end.
What about you, John? Let's go to number three.
Number three for me is Gaogaigar. Gaogaigar Final.
Yeah.
I've only seen two episodes of Gaogaigar ever.
Oh my
the
god.
The first one and the very last one.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Like you showed it to me!
It's like your experience with Evangelion, right?
It's Gurren Lagann that he's also only seen the last episode of.
God. And the first episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, Gaogaigar was my actual... It affected me in a way that I actually started liking the giant robo type of anime or manga. Because before that, the whole concept of, you know, having a giant robot defending a city, fighting another giant robot, and actively destroying the city, this did not make sense to me. In Gaogaigar, they have a certain tool called...
Dividing Driver!
Exactly.
Thanks, Danny.
And it creates like an actual field where they can fight without destroying the city. The whole concept of like of the weapons throughout Gaogaigar are weapons that decrease the actual destruction of whatever is hitting them.
It's as if it was designed from the ground up to protect a city or something.
Yeah, I know. And the other good thing about that series is that it jumps right into it. There's no... You know, build up of like, I found a robot and so forth and so such. This is, they have.
Here's the guy. This is the robot they've been working on. Let's see if it works.
Well, it's not even that. This is, we've already tested it out. These are the tools that we've created for it. We already know what the hell we're doing. This is the government's facility for it. They actually have a, can I do, Final Fusion? Can I get all the robots together?
They require authorization to unleash this weapon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there was
Did they ever deny it?
Hmm?
Did they ever deny it in the series?
There was one time where they were really slow about approving it.
Yes.
So that's the closest thing there is. Okay, never mind.
Well, specifically what happened was the entire UN shut down because of the attack, and also the UN was run by, bureaucrats who refused to actually do anything, so it required the old commander to bust back into the base and whip out his own commanding stick and...
Yeah.
reactivate it.
He ripped out his stick and commanded it. Okay, I get it. I can. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah.
Should we tell the story about what happened while you were watching the last episode?
I'll get to that in a second. Because, yeah, Gal Gaigar is actually my number 3 as well. So
okay, like mine. Yes. But, yeah, that's... I think there was 2 arcs of the original Gal Gaigar. Second arc, I don't really care for. It goes from first arc to Gal Gaigar final.
Okay.
Because the second half was just really filler. You know, it's all just really the same. Except for, you know, at the very end where they have Jupiter and they have the absolute
power.
It's a power. Yes.
All right.
What came out of left field anyway, so you might as well just say
it's Jupiter.
Last,
it's the largest planet. Of course it holds the power.
All right, shall we move on to my number 3 then?
Go ahead.
My number 3 is Video Girl Eye. It used to be Irresponsible Captain Tyler, but now it's Video Girl Eye.
Video Girl Eye is a good choice.
It's a good choice because that is the first show that proved to me that an anime could make the room a little dusty. Because the ending there, and the ending song. The ending song. The ending song, for some reason, whenever I put it in my MP3 player, the MP3 player starts just shooting dust in my eyes. I end up blinking a lot. It's weird.
Yeah, you should look into that. That's probably a design flaw.
It is. Yeah. Because it's an emotionally well-crafted show. You know, like you actually get to know all of the characters and get to know why they're in this situation and, you know, why things will not work between them and stuff like that.
Yeah, the manga gets a little weird, but
yeah, it does.
That's why I own only the anime. And it also has a really good soundtrack. A really good soundtrack.
Yeah, it's one of the best soundtracks, like, period.
And so that is my number 3.
Alright.
My number 3 is another OVA series, and that is ROD. I don't count the TV series. and if you don't know, ROD stands for Read or Die.
Or Read or Dream. Well, actually, no, it doesn't. You can't count the TV series.
No, he's not counting the TV series.
Right.
So Read or Die, yeah. It's very well animated. It has some very unoriginal ideas put together in a very original way.
But yeah, I actually like the setting for that series too. It's very well crafted.
I like the opening song because it's just very, very old school spy.
It just picks you up and runs.
Yeah. And like, I really like the main character as well. She's just like the complete opposite of what you would expect.
She's not an action series main character at all, which is great.
She is very heroic.
Yeah.
Anyway, Danny.
I can guess Danny's number 3.
Well, I just mentioned that my Gal Gaigar final is also my number 3. And the prime reason I should also mention this is because there's two stories related to this. One was that Mike and Hung, you know, right after the last episode of Gal Gaigar final came out, they wanted to talk about it as much as possible. I had not seen any of Gal Gaigar at that point. So they started talking about it, and they started talking in like sort of vague code, and I just filtered out as much of it as I could.
Leon spoiler!
Yeah, things like that.
Shouting that out.
And then I saw, you know, and so basically, you know, they took painstaking efforts to avoid giving me spoilers and so I can watch the series from start to finish. And, you know, as I'm there watching I'm watching the series, I'm almost at the very end of the TV series. And, Miho, who happens to have seen the entire Yusha series up to that point, and she's actually, you know, she's been following that since childhood, basically, is as we're watching the final climactic battle where, you know, the main character's just getting torn to pieces and everything else that he cares about is either shut down or trying to kill him.
Yeah. And he was a cyborg at that point.
And, you know.
Oh, spoiler.
Right at the very end of the
fight. Coming up.
right at the end of the fight. Like in the process of the end of the fight, Miho walks into the room and goes, "Oh, yeah. Didn't he turn into a human at the end?"
Oh.
Hung, Mike, slap their foreheads. And I just continue watching because, you know, I don't know what's going on. And he goes, "Oh, damn. Sorry, guys."
Yeah, I remember you coming out of the room. And then I started asking you about the hammer, if you'd seen it enough.
Yeah.
You seen the big hammer? Yeah. No, the big hammer.
No.
Mike, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, like, those are really fun series to watch just because, well, it's another one of those series that they're trying to, well, if not recover from, at least ignore the depressing influence of that has been on the robot genre for the last, oh, I don't know, was it 15 years now? But, and yeah, it was, because the thing, the Yusha series is basically, it's just a kid, a robot, and adventure. And it's something I can, you know, get behind. I mean, like, Gagagar Final is basically the series that made me feel 10 again, which was, you know, kind of nice, because I don't ever remember feeling 10.
It's a very heroic, optimistic series, and that's another thing I liked about
like,
it.
Like, the villains aren't too bad. I mean, they're trying to take over the world, but they have their reasons. Well, they're trying to possess humanity, but they have their reasons.
Yeah.
And there are some actual villainous villains, but
they never actually.
Well, some of them have their reasons. You know they're wrong, but they have their reasons.
What about you, Lita? What about your number three?
My number three.
It means you should be close with Mike.
My number three is Nausicaa. I never read the manga, so Kevin's like, no. Sorry.
Oh, it's burning me up inside.
But I really like, that was my favorite Studio Ghibli film. Like, that was beautifully animated. I really like the story. It was either between that or Spirited Away, but I really like Nausicaa, the story-wise. I know I didn't read the manga, I'm sorry, so I should read it and that'll change my mind.
It's my fault for not having it here and being like, Lita, you can't leave till you read these.
Yeah, totally your fault. Okay, so that's my number three.
My number three is so freaking, like, I don't know why I like this series a lot, and it's just...
Hajime no Ippo?
No.
That's number one.
Oh, thanks, guys.
Number one.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. That's number zero. That's the reason he was able to make this in the first place.
My number three is Boys B, which is an old 13-episode series, which is very generic when you actually do try to explain it, but it actually has an ending that I thought was very... original and different, in which, spoiler, the main boy and girl don't get together in an effort to be together. It's very strange. But
it's not strange, it's just life.
Yeah. It's just like I like it. It's very fun, it's lighthearted. It really just follows like these three guys, and then each one is going through like different kind of story arcs when they're going through high school and like through the summer and things like that. It actually follows this whole season based arc kind of thing to it. And I really enjoy it. It's back then I thought it was beautifully animated, not so much when I look at it now, but it's simple, it's easy, and I mean, I've seen it like so many times by this point. I actually consider it more like a drama than an animated series, so well, it's just a drama animated series.
Yeah,
but yeah.
That makes sense.
Number two, Mr. Right. John.
Number two for me would be Akira. This is... You guys laugh.
No, because when someone's like, Akira and that other crap. Akira and crap like that.
I know. It's a very old series. Well, it's not even a series. It's an OVA. Yeah.
No, it's a movie.
It should have been.
A movie, whatever. But it was one of the... Not the first thing that got me into animation. That's actually something else. But it...
Please don't say La Blue Girl. Please don't say La Blue Girl. Please don't say La Blue Girl.
It's oh, the blue girl!
What, you don't want him to take your number one?
Spoiler!
No. The one that got me into the animation was Yellow Submarine. But,
oh, cool. Huh.
The Akira, it was, how to explain it, very psychedelic.
It was out there.
It's
perfect to follow up Yellow Submarine, is what you're saying.
It's maybe.
DiCaprio is supposed to be making an Akira movie or something like that.
There's supposed to be an Akira movie, but I don't know who's attached to it. Like, it was dead for a while, and then it had two writers attached to it again.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, it doesn't matter.
DiCaprio's production company is handling it. No. There's... I remember it was some really good writers are actually attached to it now.
They have some pretty good writers attached to it now.
It doesn't matter. It's going to be live-action animation. It's going to fail.
No, I think Akira is actually one of the few properties that can be adapted very well by an American film production company if you don't let it fall into the wrong hands. Because Akira, the manga series, is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
It's very westernized, too.
Yeah. I guarantee you it's going to fail.
Oh, it will fail, but it might be good.
Why would it fail?
Oh, you just don't know
Hollywood. Why?
It's not Hollywood. It's the American audience.
Lita, you just don't understand football.
Oh, the Broncos.
Lita actually knows how to watch football.
Yeah. I know how to play the game. Oh, my God.
But anyway, Akira, I think it's also one of the animation, seeing as it is a movie, had more money going into it, so the animation quality was a lot ire.
It was amazing to see the animation originally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, you can do it this good?
Yeah.
Because we saw 80s cartoons, like 90s cartoons. Yeah. Like
Speed Racer, Akira was very well done, and the music was a type that I hadn't heard of, you know, a lot of types of drums that I hadn't, you know, really had experienced before. And the story wise, I mean, I took me years later to read the manga, but even the movie, it's a very engaging kind of story. Dom?
Cool. My number two, right? Is we're on number two?
Yes. Number two. Yeah.
My number two is Kido Senkan Nadeshiko, or Martian Successor Nadeshiko.
Because what is that?
It is a show, it's sort of a meta show about the investigation of all of the ideals of other robot shows. Because if you remember, everybody in there who starts shouting about justice and has like a very 70s sensibility gets shot.
You mean Guy?
And other guy.
That's true.
The ones who...
We're not just making this up.
Yeah. It's the exact same actor for both of them. And they both get shot because they hold the same ideals and it just doesn't work. And I also have... It's also pretty well done. Like, all of the characters have their own stories. The entire crew has their own thing going. They all have very fun
episodes. And it also taught me that... Yeah.
It's a great series. I'm just remembering, like the first half of the show is one thing. And then suddenly, the second half, I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? I guess you can see it coming.
Yeah, it's sort of an extension of the previous thought. But yeah,
it does kind of blindside you, doesn't it? Yeah. And I liked that.
And that was also the show that taught me that communication windows could be fun.
Yes. They have so many scenes where just dick around with other people in the little communication
windows. I just love that.
Trying to shout at each other in the windows, like, just getting bigger and bigger.
One of the main bad guys was like, yeah, and under different circumstances, pulls out a manga, pushed to it. You could be friends.
Yeah, if you're born on the same planet, we might have been friends, and he closes the window and runs off.
But yeah, the disco is fun. It was
fun. There's really nothing more you need to say about it. I mean, I have a very strong connection to it, just because it's just so fun, and it has like this message underneath that you have to think about for a second. Go, oh yeah, huh? That was there.
Yeah, and also showed that they can still animate the way that they did in the 70s.
Yes.
Let's get those brushes out. Thicker lines.
More lines. Needs more lines. All right, so Sung, your number two.
My number two is, and this was mentioned before, but Rurouni Kenshin. And I do the thing of pretending that third season doesn't exist.
Most people do.
Yeah,
it's just healthier that way.
How about Samurai X?
Well, the thing is,
OVA is actually very good.
Also, the thing about Samurai X is the artist Watsuki. He liked the name. He was fine with it.
Yeah.
That's because it looks fine in Japanese. And Kanji
then,
X.
But if you actually find the original Samurai X international trailer, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it was for like the Philippines or something.
This girlfriend, yeah. Kaoru.
Take this.
Samurai X. He'll
you in your best.
He fights for justice and fun.
Are you serious about this?
I'm fairly certain it was a joke.
Yeah, it's really, really...
It's not a joke.
It was old real. Enough. It was old enough it's that really I can't tell whether that it was real.
It was real.
Oh,
it
nice.
Is real.
It's like
it's the kind of thing that they would have made as a joke now, though.
It's like what the Americans did to Cardcaptor Sakura.
Cardcaptor's a mystic adventure.
Why the hell do you remember that?
Cardcaptor is a race against time.
Yes. Why do you think Kevin and I remember? We did it to annoy people.
I also had the MP3.
Okay.
Yeah, like, it's just a really great action series, especially in that second season.
Yeah.
And then the manga continues to be not particularly great, but still very, very, very good.
I enjoyed it.
And then that first OVA is just, like, beyond good.
Yeah.
And then the second OVA is just like, okay.
Yeah, the first OVA almost makes up for the third season. Then they made the second OVA and...
Why did you kill Kenshin?
Okay, yeah,
that was
Anime Expo, right? When Watsuki was here for Anime Expo, there's a person in the back. They were walking up. They got Like, I remember this because I was in the way back. Somebody was asking, you know, for the panel of questions. They, and, you know, they got through the usual questions, you know. One of the person walked up, said, I love the series. I love the TV series.
By the way, this is a little girl.
Oh, really? Was it? I couldn't tell from there. Girl. I was in the back. And, you know, she's saying, I love the series. I love everything. I just had a question for you. Why did you decide to kill off Kenshin at the end of the series? And of course, this hadn't actually come out in English yet. So you could just hear this wave of awe from the people who hadn't actually known about that part of it yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took about 3 seconds for it to actually reach the back.
And of course, since she was like this little girl, like people, like,
no one's gonna get mad.
Her, so they're just like, they're like,
you can't get angry at her, really. Yeah.
And, but yeah, his answer was, well, I didn't work on it. That. He was saying, yeah, that was just the producers of the OVA who decided that.
But, okay.
Never happened.
Yeah, that too. So, my number two is going to be something very specific, because I know you own it, and I know you own it. And all I have to tell you is that the cheese must flow.
What?
This is actually...
What?
This is
the first one of my sayings back in
first,
college.
This is actually the first Gundam series that I'd ever seen. G Gundam. Which is, if you've actually seen any other Gundam, is nothing like the rest of them.
At all.
But, you know, once you get to the very end of the series and you know, get the takeaway message and it suddenly occurs to you, actually it kind of is like the rest. It actually is holding to the Gundam concept of, you know, conflict and love,
Gundams.
Things like that. And, yeah, and it's got Seki-1. Seki-1 being Seki-1. Yeah, I can't really
shouting a lot.
That. Yeah.
And mermaid Gundams.
And Sailor Moon Gundams.
Yeah, and that
which
was
powered by anger.
And that was actually the series that got me watching.
What? It's true.
That was actually the series that got me paying attention to people's voices in Japanese. So that was it's pretty big for me at least.
Cool. Lita, number two?
My number two is Revolutionary Girl Utena. I liked it a lot.
Wait, the TV series or the girl morphing into cars series?
Yes, the car wash. Well, I just thought it would be really fun if I turned them into cars.
No, the TV series.
What is that called, Ian?
The one that was very dramatic. I really liked it. I remember like the ending being like, what?
I do like the TV series. I like how it was all set up and there was actually a kind of conspiracy story to it more than just a shoujo kind of story.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that they had duels after school, but whatever. I was like,
yeah, it was.
Wait, that weirded you out? Not the pulling the sword out of a girl's womb.
Yeah, that weirded me out too. But after the fact that there was a duel after school, I kind of figured that would be all weird from there. So
that and like a flowery.
It's just a very flowery way of saying meet me by the bike racks.
But yeah, like, the ending was really cool. Like, the whole conspiracy was really interesting. And,
I don't even remember the ending.
I don't either.
The ending was that it was always destined that she was, like, it was a setup that she was supposed to, think that Ansi was, was unprotected and that she needed to protect her or something.
Oh,
and then
okay.
They tried to trick her into becoming this role that she wasn't supposed to become or something like that. I don't remember that well. I just remember when I did see the reveal about it, I was like, wow, that's actually pretty clever.
Yeah, it was basically like they tricked her and Ansi turned out to be like the bad person. Like,
yeah, she was the enemy.
She was the manipulator of the whole thing. And I was like, whoa, you quiet. You were so quiet. How did you think of all that?
Lots of free time.
Yeah.
I remember I had like the castle and all that other stuff.
And the crazy, and the music.
Yeah.
It's like, dramatic!
Yeah, I remember
and then you actually listen to the lyrics, it's like, this makes no sense.
I just remember her stabbing her in the back. I was like, ouch, burn.
I had Okui Masami songs, which is always good for any show.
Yeah.
I can get behind that.
All right, well, my number two is an absolute classic of anime. It's Macross, Super Dimensional Fortress Macross.
Very good.
Very nice.
Still... What a fantastic series, and really, yes, and it's, yeah, and Negan's right there, yeah. It's a fantastic series. It's so old that a lot of people, when they do try to watch it, it's really difficult, but I really like it. I think it establishes so many things about that kind of space opera genre for anime, and it's just a great space opera in general. I really like the songs, I really like the characters, I like everything, like that kind of legacy about it. and actually always, you know, Macross can always kind of get a pass from me about, like, all their other series except for Macross 2, which isn't part of Macross.
That's an acceptable break. Yeah,
it's officially not part of Macross. Yeah. That, you know, all of it can get passed for me. I'll eventually always check it out somehow. All
right. Cool.
So, John, we've come down to your number one picks.
Yeah.
And I know one title that you have not yet mentioned that I know has to be on your top five. Yeah, so why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Well, before that, there was two honorable mentions that I hadn't thought of when we were doing honorable mentions. There was number one, Princess Tutu. I like that one because of all the classical music.
I really like Princess Tutu as well.
The Swan Lake. There's a lot of a very psychedelic, weird storyline, and that one that I liked. The animation was also very well done that as well. It's a shoujo series, and I usually forget about those series. The other one is Sailor Moon, and I say that because before Pokemon. Here in the States, it was
all about the Sailor Moon.
It was all about Sailor Moon. It was the mainstream.
Did they make you think the wrong thing?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
the boom Sailor Moon girls. But yeah, it's one of those series that got the attention of teenagers and not the little kids that Pokemon got.
It got the attention of teenage boys around the country.
Teenage boys, teenage girls too. It got everybody beyond being just a little kid. And that's why I think animation beyond just little kids kind of animation.
Okay.
So and now your actual number one.
Actual number one, Golden Boy.
Yeah.
Golden Boy is awesome.
Golden Boy is one of those ones I love the dub way more than
this. Yes, that was another of the early really good dubs.
Yes, the main character, the voice actor for that is one of the best.
Because the thing is that if you actually listen to the Japanese track of Golden Boy, it depends entirely whether or not you like Iwata Mitsuo. And he has a very hicky voice. He sounds like a hick. And so if you don't like that voice, then you'd rather listen to the dub.
Who has a very spy-y voice?
Whoever voices Lupin.
But yeah, the thing about Golden Boy was that it had a very normal guy that went around on a bike.
And he's out racing.
It's out racing motorcycles.
That's like the last episode. I got into it, and you see this, you know, this. You see Kentaro Oi, the main character in Golden Boy, and he's on that bike, and he's singing to himself in a very awkward voice, very loud, and then he gets hit by a car.
Spoiler! Oh my god!
And then, this isn't Yu Yu Hakusho. Don't worry about it.
And then, you know, out comes this, you know, beautiful woman who's apparently like the president of this,
old software company.
And the thing about the series, it was only around six episodes. Six episodes. Each episode is self-contained. Is that every single, person, that Golden Boy comes across is a very strong-willed woman who's very actually, self-made, and that's hard to see in a lot of media. Period.
He taught himself programming.
Oh yeah,
by drawing himself a keyboard and typing on it.
Yes, yes. Yeah. He spent totally a long life learning about BASIC.
That's the thing.
He's a bit of a dork and a perv.
But at the end of it, he's also like hyper competent.
Yes.
Which is also great.
Forgotten about that, like I said.
He taught himself BASIC.
He taught himself BASIC by looking at the textbook and having a sheet of paper with a computer board there, and he taught himself that.
Yeah. And he drew a keyboard.
Yeah, that was the whole thing. Like, he was described as, you know, a university dropout for all the time.
Yeah, supposed to be like, he completed all his courses.
Yeah, he basically finished all of his courses and then left.
Yeah, he's finished all his courses at, Tokyo Law. He was supposed to be a lawyer, but he decided not to graduate, and he just went off and he did all these short time jobs. He was a freelancer.
Go to see the world.
Yeah.
Japan, at least.
I will say the manga is really, really weird.
Well, the thing about the manga is it goes beyond those six episodes.
Yeah, it eventually becomes pornography.
After the first volume, it basically becomes softcore pornography. There's halfway through the second volume.
This reality thing makes no sense.
Yeah, that's when it's not really Golden Boy anymore, but you don't even see Kentaro Oil anymore anyway. But
that's why we like the OAB.
Yeah, I just like the fact that, he's a genius helping people. And
that's basically what he did for a living. He went out and helped people in trouble and didn't get any thanks for it, At least in the OAV, he never got any play for it. And, he just sort of, next.
Yep.
Always next going. Portion of life.
Always seeing the exciting. Always go study impossible. More. Always studying. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
Always reading right before you got the girl.
Alright, so, my number one is Full Metal Panic Fumafu.
Yeah.
Only Fumafu. Seasons one and season the second raid, they don't count. Only Fumafu matters. Because Full Metal Panic Fumafu is one of the most perfect comedies I have ever seen. Ever.
It's,
in terms of just pure comedy.
It is very well contained.
It's a guy in a bear suit.
It's a guy in a bear suit running around kicking people
in the balls, shooting them
with
riot shotguns.
Yes,
yeah,
riot
with the wooden dowels. There is nothing I have never found any flaw in the comedy of Full Metal Panic Fumafu.
Yes.
All right, Sung. What about your number one?
Well, before I say my number one, I should mention my two favorite comedies since he brought it up, which are, Ping Pong Club.
Jeez! Wow.
Was the one show that introduced me to the Japanese kind of off.
You mean gross humor?
Yeah. It's very, very sideways, upside down humor, but it's very funny and very weird. And it definitely is not for all people.
I think it's foul. Oh my god, and I'm saying this.
And then my my favorite comedy of all of them for anime is Dragon Half.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
The ending song is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyways, so my number one is Bitter Girl Eye, which I've mentioned before.
Alright.
It just, to me, is just kind of one of those perfect OVA series for me. It's really well animated, great voice actors, great music.
And it has this weird ability to make the room seem just dustier and just something.
Yes,
in the eye.
Yes.
It's weird. It's weird. I don't get it.
I got it.
It's got the same power as Field of Dreams. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah. It's the only CD where I've had to buy it twice because the first CD actually got so worn down.
Nice.
From being spun. Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Okay, so my number one should come as a surprise to no one in this room, because it pretty much encapsulates everything that everything I see and everything I usually talk about, things like that. So when I was first watching Suzumi Haruhi no Yutsu, the whole thing of it is placed out of order, and for most people it was really confusing. But it wasn't confusing for me. And the primary reason it wasn't confusing for me is because that's how I watch anime. I watch whatever episode I can get my hands on at the time. And for a lot of it, a lot of my introductions are from people like Mike or G, or in this case, Brian Mao, showing me the last episode first. So the very last episode of Scry is the first episode that I saw, and that's my number one.
Yeah,
okay.
My balls!
At first I was like,
balls.
This makes no sense, Danny not putting Scry on his list and saying Haruhi.
Isn't it great?
And I really thought he was just doing it to dick around with me.
And he did!
No, there's a very specific reason for it. I mean, this is, like I said, Evangelion was the first series that I watched from beginning to end. Scry was the first series I chased down. Because for the longest time I had never seen episode 13. Episode 13 is where the entire series changes.
Yeah.
And so,
how did you not watch this, with all the pieces?
I saw them as wherever I can get my hands on them.
Oh.
I'd get DVD here, I'd get a viewing, I'd watch it on somebody else's copy here or there. It was only until they actually started coming out in DVD in America that I could actually, purchase the DVDs one at a time. But, you know, for the longest time, it was this just grand mystery about the center of it, which was, you know, part of my appeal for it. And the other part of it being, Scarred is a series about men. The women are not as important. Well, it's not really an appeal so much as, this is what the director said about the series itself. It was one of the things he loved is just a great concept. I mean, like I said at the beginning, I really like world building. And that is a completely different world that basically changes based on, you know, one cataclysmic event. And you can see what it does. And at the very end of the series, it's basically still a series about two guys who
desperately need to have angry sex with each other.
No! Say that.
No! Damn it, no!
I need to fight aliens!
You need to talk faster then, because you left the perfect pause for me.
I know.
I was even, like, just staring at my iPhone waiting for you to say it, so that you would think I wasn't paying attention.
No, I knew you were going to say it. I knew it was going to come up. I was hoping it wouldn't come up, but, you know, apparently you like to talk about that sort of thing. But yeah, basically...
He does.
It's a series that taught me that hate can be just as passionate as love.
Yes, yes, that's the point, yes.
Or at least it was just as heartfelt as
his arm.
Yes.
Because, yeah, the two main characters hate each other. Yeah. They, in fact, the entire reason they meet is because one of them is a criminal and the other one is supposed to be, you know, taking him in.
The police.
So they start as a fight. And they continue fighting each other. They run into something that's so incredibly, overwhelming and evil that they need to actually fight against it instead. And then once everything is resolved, once they've defeated the, you know, evil totalitarian government that's in charge of it, they're about to go their separate ways and they realize, hey, wait a minute. We haven't finished that fight yet. And so they have one last fight. And the whole thing of it is, they basically become, if not friends, but at least, you know...
Comrades.
Comrades.
Prison buddies.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Not friends, but at least comrades. But at the same time, this is the one fight that they've been, you know, trying to have this entire time. So they tear into each other. By the end of it, they're pulling out pretty much every single ability they have. And they have, like, they, one of the things is they grow armor. And all of their armor's torn off. And at the end of it, they're basically just punching each other. And you'd think it was funny.
Punching, Dom.
And, you know. You'd think they were being friendly about it, but they're fighting really, really mean. You know, you hear, like, bones breaking.
Yeah,
and
I remember watching that. It's like they have that, you know, that weird look where everyone's eye is really big and then their pupil's really small. There's all those, like, scratch marks all over their face. And I love it. I love how it ends. It's so brutal.
The fight basically progresses. You get it more and more and more brutal. As, you know, like, after they exhaust their
own,
of
supernatural
attacks,
abilities, yeah.
They just had to resort to, like, basically trying to stab each other with fingers and...
Yeah, throwing rocks at each other. Basically reduced to throwing rocks at each other.
Yeah.
Does anyone win at this fight?
Yes.
That's the thing. They don't specify who wins at the end. They just show a cloud of dust and one hand sticking out of it at the very end. Like, they don't actually say who wins.
But you kind of know
who wins.
You
can imply. It's very heavily implied. It's like the ending to Code Geass. It's just the same director. There's things that are very heavily implied that they just feel like would be better if they don't actually say out loud. But, you know, everyone knows.
Yeah, I'm just remembering that episode where they're in that fake world where they're supposed to all be friends.
Yeah.
And then, like, but then it gets broken when they start fighting.
Well, no, what happens is they start fighting, and the cop is the fake one. And he's saying, man, you're really good at this. Let's call it a tie. At which point, that's the exact moment that the main character realizes, this isn't real. He wouldn't say that. We should be finishing this until one of us is dead. So, you know, that's the moment he breaks out of this, the dream world that he was caught in.
It's not when he realizes that the right brain is the dreaming brain, the left brain is the one that reads.
You usually have one brain.
Batman.
Batman.
But yeah, the other reason why we...
The Riddler.
It's the Mad Hatter.
They just had angry sex.
Yeah, that's right.
I agree with
Tom. But that's the thing. They're just too manly to have sex. It's really well established. They both have love interests. But they're too busy beating things up to care.
This is not a show for me. I've just realized.
It is not.
It's not very logical.
Okay. Well, you really, in order to figure out.
I really like the show, though.
The show's really good, actually.
Yeah. So is the manga. I love the manga.
Just be glad you're out of reach, though.
Wait, the manga was, oh.
The manga's awesome.
Yeah, it was the best.
Yo. Don't make me break things. I know I have the most awesome.
All right, my number one.
Rock-sword my box sores. Okay. Lita, you're number one.
My number one is Fruits Basket.
Because it's like Dragon Ball, but with eggs.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. So
Toru is Shoujo Goku. It's okay.
I really like the characters. They're really awesome. And I don't know. Like, I know Toru seemed kind of plain, but everyone else is really interesting.
I don't know about that. Toru taught me the concept of moe, because that's what she used. She used her powers of being
cute.
And, too cute to kick.
Yeah.
To fight angst aliens.
Yeah.
Angst monsters.
I guess that's true. She was way too cute, and everyone was like, oh, you're so cute! But I really like the show. Like, basically, through her and her, like, she had a normal upbringing, and everyone else was all...
Did you call that normal?
You call that normal?
Not normal, but, like, she had people who loved her, and then, like,
she had one person who loved her.
And then she brought that into these other people who are very misfortunate.
Did she live in a tent?
Describing the plot to Naruto?
She lived in a tent at the beginning.
Yeah, in the forest, or something like that.
By herself?
She's living in a tent in the forest by herself because her
parents
mom's
are dead. She's an orphan.
Yeah.
Living in a tent in Japan.
But she uses...
Normal life.
She was such a normal life.
For anime, it's kind of normal.
I'm just saying she
Golden Boy doesn't count.
Loved her. How about that?
Yeah, she was loved... And then and the other characters were not, and that's how she helps them become, fight angst, I guess.
Cope. It's called cope.
Coping, yes. It's called coping.
Not fight angst.
Fight angst. You can fight angst. Just ask Gatekeeper.
What's the
it's so
of
cool
fight
how
angst?
They change.
Gatekeepers.
Like,
that's fighting angst.
And it's so cool. And it's also, I don't know, I really love the plot lines, and it's really warming. I cried a few times. Anyways, that's...
Oh, it's very good.
Yeah.
It's a very good show.
He puts his angst into the form of Dragon Ball.
No, the show is very good. My favorite episode is the, I think, the one about winter, the doctor.
The doctor, yes. What
the doctor.
Snow,
God,
yes.
I love that episode.
That is a good one.
A music video I saw one time.
Yeah, some guy is untalented made that.
Who
is that? I never heard of him either.
Yeah, I like
who would spend
episode.
The time to do that?
I know. Oh, Jesus. People.
I also like the bunny episode where, like, the mom doesn't even remember him.
Oh my god.
Was?
Yeah.
Nice.
The little boy, right?
Yeah, and then he's so, like, adult enough to be like, it's okay that they don't remember.
Okay, Mitsuhi Kotono was the.
She was the boar. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's the boar.
The boar had issues too.
Yes,
they all have
That's
issues.
The point of the series is that they all have issues.
I get it.
Not the
right?
dog.
The dog had no issues.
It's
the
just
dog
silly.
No,
the dog's just awesome. Actually, it's true.
The dog has some
major issues.
No, not
manga
major
issues.
He's manipulative. That's not the same.
Okay.
Actually, wait. I'm trying to remember, and this is a spoiler to the show. What was the deal? Like, why did the cat guy have two things?
That was actually made up just for the anime. I forget.
Yeah,
why.
It was just the anime that did that. The whole monster thing.
Yeah,
he wasn't a monster.
Well, no,
he's not a manga. I remember.
Huh? It does happen in the manga.
Yeah, I saw something like.
No, it doesn't happen in the manga. Trust me on this one. Yeah, I own all of it.
Whatever.
Actually,
what?
It does.
Yeah, it does. I remember reading about it.
I guess I'm just blocking it out.
Yellow Goblin says, you're wrong,
no, I remember reading about it.
I'm actually okay with missing out on that one, because I hated that part.
Oh, fine.
No, but it's because, I think it's because, he's not part of the those 12. He had, during the certain months, he turns into this monster. Like, I forgot the reasoning, but you need this little thing, his little bracelet to control it or something.
Yeah, I remember the bracelet.
Did the series ever end, the manga series?
Yes,
it ended.
Who does she end up with?
I don't want to know because I haven't read it yet.
I'm thinking it's the cat.
You guys are jerks.
No, I don't
He's
know.
He's guessing.
I'm thinking it's the cat.
He's
this
guessing.
Anime
here,
series,
here,
it's the cat.
I'll flip a coin and make you feel bad about it.
No, let's not do this.
The mouse is so much
prettier.
Let's
get a cure number one.
My number one is Hajime no Ippo.
Shock!
Oh, shock. Da, da, da.
Actually, for these guys, it's
really?
Not a shock.
Yes, it's wrong!
It's my favorite anime series. It's
oh, you said Dempsey Roll, not Tootsie Roll.
That's what I
thought
heard when
I thought he said Tetsuo, which made sense with the yelling.
No, he said Dempsey Roll.
I love Hajime no Ippo. It's just my favorite. It's a sports series about boxing for people that don't know about it. Although most people know about it now, it was released in the United States under Fighting Spirit. And it's just a great series. It's an ongoing manga series still. It started in 1989.
Actually, yeah. Wasn't the game called The Fighting or something like that?
Well, that was the subtitle for it.
No, the subtitle for it, the anime, was Hajime no Ippo, The Fighting.
Okay.
And then the games were called Victorious Boxers. They actually had the first and the third of the PS2 games released over here, as well as the Wii one. They're all called Victorious Boxers. They were good games, too, except for the Wii one is pretty terrible. I love this series. These guys all know that I really, really love the series, that they knew it was going to be the number one for me. I like all the characters. I like all the humor. I like all the storylines. Everything about it just keeps building, and it doesn't really get too tiring ever.
I'm just thinking, it's like, out of all the number ones here, I think the only number one that surprised me was Sung's, because it wasn't Ranma.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Ranma didn't show up.
Yeah, I know, but I was surprised that your number one wasn't Ranma.
Well, Ranma to me is more just for nostalgia value. The first two seasons are really inventive and really interesting. The OVAs are great. It's just, when you continue on with it, you're like, okay, this is getting a little tiring now.
That's true.
Well, that's Sagashi.
Yeah. And all right. She's great at making stories. She just doesn't...
She doesn't end them! Oh my god! That's why Mazen and Koku was so good, because it ended.
Yes.
Oh, but that dragged on.
All right.
Also, yes.
So this pretty much wraps up our Evangelion topic, although it really
is that what we were talking about?
An overall general anime topic. I mean, Evangelion is one of the biggest. Yeah. So I didn't know any other way we could really shoehorn in this kind of a top five without it just completely overtaking the stuff segment. This is our second longest recorded episode ever at 1 hour and 52 minutes now.
Wow.
And so let's go straight into this. If you guys have any other suggestions about things that we might have forgotten for our top five anime, or anything else we may have forgotten about Evangelion that you still feel we should talk about, we can always talk about it in the stuff and suggestions section.
And the best thing is, after Endless 8, no one will mail in about Haruhi anymore.
Isn't it great?
Alright, you can always email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Find all of our older episodes at www.s-words-podcast.com. And Dom, there once was a little place.
There once was a place on the net where Dom... I need to write a limerick for this now. Hold
made
on.
Made a terrible bet. Something about dressing up as a girl. That's twitter.com/s_words.
I don't remember the rest of your mother's a whore.
you may not have heard it. It's twitter.com/s_words. So if you guys want to wrap up anything here, I know Danny and John probably have favorite quotes from their yelling series that they might want to go through.
Shiny fingers. That's all I know.
C base? Is that like third base? First base is kissing. Second base is...
Yes, I love programming. Yes, give me.
Is this Golden Boy?
It was the first episode of Golden Boy.
Okay, now I remember. Let's see. All right, so I was gonna say something, and I totally lost it in that.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Well, I see you on your normal. But you're like way over here, and you're getting green.
I'm a louder person than you naturally.
Well, okay, maybe you are, but I'm just
naturally
saying.
Okay. We're good.
All right.
You guys ready for this? I mean, da 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 da.
Welcome to the S-Word Podcast, a roundtable destruction. Hurry up!
Destruction.
Roundtable destruction.
Roundtable destruction.
You mean like Mythbusters?
Hey, can you tell me? It's Shin Saiki.
Shin Saiki.
Saiki. Okay.
Saiki.